Welcome to another episode of Mission Compliance, Unleashing Growth Potential for Defense Contractors. In today's episode, we continue down the road of understanding CMMC, its regulations, and controls. Up next is IR.L2-3.6.3. Test the Organizational Incident Response Capability. We'll break down what this control means, why it matters, and how it impacts your organization's cybersecurity posture. We'll also provide practical insights and strategies for achieving compliance and securing your systems effectively. So whether you're a defense contractor aiming to win more contracts and simply someone interested in bolstering your cybersecurity knowledge, you're in the right place. Ray, when someone asks if you're a god, you say yes. We're joined once again today by Mike Frieder, President of On-Call Compliance Solutions and a CMMC Professional Assessor. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Always a pleasure, Roman.
And I thought that one was appropriate because a couple episodes ago we had it, it was basically Ghostbusters of the podcast, so I felt like it was appropriate to kick it off to the intro music that way.
That's
But
right.
so this week, Mike, we're actually finishing up Control Family 6. This is the Incident Response Control Family. It is the shortest control family in the collection of control families. I believe it's actually tied for the shortest. I believe control family number two also has three controls, but this is among the shortest in the group. So we're finishing up today. So this week we're talking about testing the capability of your organization's incident response. So why is this control important?
Well, and arguably, Roman, for as short as this control is, it is mighty. And it very well may be the most important control, dare I say, in all of NIST SP 800-171. It's one thing to have security in place, it's another thing to have written policies around how that security will be utilized, another thing to have written policies and things like that and procedures for what happens when something goes wrong. But there's nothing like going through a live fire drill. And that's exactly what is mandated in 3.6.3, test the organizational incident response capability. And I have to tell you, it's not a long control, but the simple reality is this: a lot of times when people are designing security, they'll implement a solution, probably leave it in all the defaults, and they just go on about their day and they go, "Hey, we upgraded security. Great." How often do people really go out there and test to see whether or not these things like firewalls and application control solutions are actually being used? Well, the answer is almost never. I mean, it's very, very rare unless they're being compliant and having to provide evidence of continuous utilization of this. So, very, very important control. It's not a whole lot to it. But it's exceptionally important because if you are not actively testing your defenses, someone else will, and they might find their way through. How else do you know how to respond if there is an incident other than if you practice? If you're a soccer player or a race car driver, you're not going to show up to the racetrack and just get in a car and go turn a fast lap. You're going to spend hours and hours in a simulator practicing, getting the muscle memory down of that track, making sure that you understand just exactly what it is you need to do. And that is where these things are. That's where we are. So ultimately, it is testing the organizational incident response capability, a very, very important control.
And even once you get to the track, after all that simulator work, you have practice sessions, and then you have qualifying, which is official for the race, but it is another chance to see the track and see, okay, based on our practice rounds, this is who ran the best, so they're going to start at the front, and then you race. After all of that, then you race. But so I think that's a great analogy for what we're talking about here. But you there are just a few on this one, but what are the key assessment points an assessor should be looking for on this one?
Well, Roman, there's only one assessment point. And it is simple. It is determine if the incident response capability is in fact tested. And so an assessor is going to want to see examples of that. So, what's the answer? What is they're looking for? Well, we say implemented CPAST, IT ticket history, quarterly risk management meetings, standard operating procedure where we talk about it, previously completed incident response forms, all of those things. So again, be prepared that you are going to need to show evidence of a past incident during your CMMC assessment or a DIPCAC high audit. So very, very crucial to understand. And yeah, the organization needs to be ready to demonstrate that it knows how to execute it, and then it got executed, and then it followed your policy. So again, short and sweet on this control. I know it won't be a seriously long podcast, but at the same time, for this one, it doesn't have, it's like a diamond, right? It can be small but very valuable. And I think that's the same thing that 3.6.3 delivers.
This shouldn't be particularly difficult because we, as we've said, this one is wildly straightforward. But would there be any difficulties in acting this one?
Great question. I think that there are difficulties in enacting this one. I'll tell you two of the difficulties that we have seen. One of the difficulties is that the reality is simple. Testing an organizational incident response capability doesn't make the company money. It just literally goes against the idea of any for-profit business. It's a waste of time. That's how most business leaders would see this. So, how much time do you waste in a business unprofitably? That's the way that most people are going to see this. And the reality is, it's very much like insurance, and people spend a lot of money on insurance. You have to be insured against the worst happening. And I would personally look from a business perspective at testing the organizational incident response capability as insurance. The more you do this, the safer you are going to be, and the sharper your cybersecurity people are going to be. And if you're a small to mid-sized business, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of reasons to outsource your IT to a company like OnCall. We go through incident response capability testing all the time, and we have real incidents that happen across our client base. So we're very well practiced in it. To get that level of experience in your team, I think it would be impossible. I mean, literally, I think it would be. I don't care how big your company is. We have companies that are 60,000 employees. They're working in one single system. OnCall works in hundreds and hundreds of systems. We've like seen it all. So I think in that regard, the one thing that I would probably put out there is the idea that one, team needs to practice. One way they can practice, they can call us up and they can talk to us about doing some tabletop exercises. We haven't said that term very much, but we like tabletop exercises. That's the idea of essentially coming up with a scenario. There's a game, there's a gamekeeper, someone who runs the game, and then the IT team essentially answers the questions based on the scenario provided. We are very experienced in running tabletop games for defense contractors so that they can have practice actually thinking through incidents. It's a wonderful exercise. It's very cost effective. We don't charge a ton of money to do it. And I think it's one of those situations where we can help your team think through the worst case scenarios before they happen. And we've had clients that we've worked with on tabletop games later have incidents that they said they were way more prepared for because they had worked through this with us. So, I think that's going to be one definite difficulty that can be overcome. The second one is, besides time and the idea it doesn't make the company money, is the idea of getting all of the key stakeholders together for that incident response exercise. It really is diff it's challenging, right? If you're doing a tabletop exercise or again testing the organizational incident response capability, reality is, well, you're gonna have to involve the people that do respond. That could be, lawyers, that could, right, if you have a general counsel, that could be business leaders, that could be a lot of high profile people who are busy. And getting a slice of their time can be tough. So, I think just getting these things pulled off, getting them to actually happen, that's difficult because, again, it's not a money-making activity. So, I think that businesses just have to understand and build in some extra overhead into their pricing. And this is what this is. It's overhead, not my favorite thing to talk about, right? But you got to have overhead to test these incident response capabilities. And, the sooner organizations recognize that this is a legal requirement, that they have to do it, I think the sooner they recognize that they have to allocate time to doing it. But again, there's always something else. There's always another fire in IT. So you just got to put it on the calendar, get the right people invited, and you just got to do it. And you got to do it pretty periodically as well, right? So again, that is mandated what's the absolute minimum interval? You can do it once a year, but realistically, twice a year is probably much more appropriate. And you just want to be able to show an assessor that you've been through that thought process.
Absolutely. So this week, in place of our normal funny question as we would finish up, this isn't so much a question, and it's not very funny. And you already used the buzzword around around which this thought is based on. I don't even know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. So this is more of an observation, and I'll get your reaction to it. As you mentioned, this control brings to mind a fire drill, an organizational fire drill. Is there a fire? No, not at this moment. The same way we used to do them in school. You know, you're in the middle of a test, you're in the middle of an assignment, and the thing goes off. And it was planned. You knew it was coming all day long. They said, there's going to be a fire drill in fifth period. Be ready. Here it comes. There it is. Everything goes smoothly. You go back inside, you go about your day. This control is the organizational version of that. There is not a fire, but especially when you're talking about compliance or cybersecurity, there certainly will be somewhere down the line. It's almost a guarantee. Hackers are getting smarter. Their paths are getting more complex. You can't block everything because they'll figure out a way around it. So testing the capability is like the practice run so that you can know what to do when the fire occurs. What are your thoughts on that?
There's a lot in there. Let me ask the
There's a
question
lot.
for that one more time.
Though there wasn't a question, that was just a statement. I'm getting your thoughts on it. That you are we already talked about it. This is like the fire drill. Like
Yes.
there's not a fire right now, but especially when you're talking about cybersecurity and compliance, there's going to be.
Yeah.
Because hackers are getting smarter, their ways of doing it are getting more complex. So this is just your fire drill. You got to know what you're going to do.
I 100% agree with you. I think the reality is that a fire drill is the perfect analogy. You know, if your kid is in school, they go for a fire drill two or three times a year. And they do the same thing with tornadoes. And you know, at the end of the day, that's purely so that everybody knows what to do. It's
And like
perfect.
I said,
You're 100% right.
they usually tell you fire drill is happening at the end of fifth period. And then
That's
the
right.
fire drill comes, you're not shocked by it, you go do it, you come back, you continue your day. But that means when there is a fire, you'll know exactly what to do. And like I said, in the world of cybersecurity, there will be, because things change every day.
Yeah, 100%.
And that wraps up another great episode of Mission Compliance. We hope our discussion today has provided you with valuable insights, practical strategies, and inspiration to navigate the ever-evolving world of defense. We'd like to thank Mike for joining us, talking about the importance of what basically amounts to the organizational fire drill, and also stealing my analogy of the fire drill before I even got there. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, always a pleasure, Roman.
But the conversation doesn't end here. We encourage you to continue exploring these topics and connect with us via our social media channels. Share your thoughts, ask questions, and engage with fellow listeners using the hashtag Mission Compliance Podcast. If they haven't already, what should they do, Mike?
Well, they should like, subscribe, and you know what? They should tell one more defense contractor about on-call compliance solutions. Check out our YouTube channel at On-Call Compliance, and most importantly, subscribe to the podcast. That way you can get the latest compliance content as we roll it out.
Yeah, that's right. You heard him. Hit subscribe, follow, or like on your favorite podcast platform so you know when new episodes like this one are released. It would also help us out a lot if you could rate and review the show. Your feedback helps us to continue to bring you thought-provoking episodes and high-quality content. Join us next time as we delve further into the dynamic world of defense, security, and industry innovation. Until then, take care, stay informed, and make compliance your mission. See you next time.
Thanks, everybody.